the veteran next door. Here's your host, Randall Baxter.
Christmas for the soldier away from home. All through time, soldiers have had to deal with being away from home at Christmas time. Many for the first time. Older soldiers may have done it before and may be used to it. The first time away from home must be tough. Whether you are or were a farmer away till planting time, maybe even a sunshine patriot conscripted for the duration, or a professional career soldier. Christmas will make you think about your childhood, your beliefs about the birth of Christ, your memories of wintertime, or even a reindeer that was shunned by his peers. The emotional position a lonely soldier may take has caused many a song to become part of heritage and history. The celebration of Christmas has changed over time, from a celebration at church of the Christ child to Father Christmas, the holiday season, Santa Claus, a time to be with loved ones, or to go home. Many elves and many famous songs have become permanent fixtures in our lives because a war was going on at Christmas.
Today's topic is Soldiers at Christmas Time. This is The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book. World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half. Soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor. And read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. You know, I get emails from people that said they bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323. Or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or call 865-525-2323. Or you can pick them up at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. Copies can be purchased as individual shows, multiple copies of the same show, or as a series. What better way to share time with the kids than by listening to the experiences of people who actually lived through historic events, like the Battle of the Bulge, World War I, Knoxville during the Civil War, Vietnam as told by soldiers who were there, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Afghanistan, and Islam in the 20th century. Each show is hosted by the Veteran Next Door host, Randy Baxter, describing the history-making events and introducing you to people who experienced the event firsthand. Purchase the shows one at a time or in sets by topic or mix and match to suit your learning need. For a list of available shows, call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Are you a licensed life insurance agent anywhere in the United States? Are you a Medicare specialist, final expense agent, captive agent, or independent broker?
I have a software package that you're going to want. It's by Estate Docs Pro, and it allows you to establish a revocable living trust for your clients, and you become their go-to person for estate planning and financial planning. You can get a free 30-day trial of this software with training, and all you have to do is ask. You can call me at 865-525-2323, or you can email me at randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com or www.estatepositioningservices.com. Get your 30-day trial. Get your training on how to set this up and watch your income go up. Remember, there's absolutely no cost to you as an agent to learn this software program. No commitment, no obligation. But once you see how it works, you're going to be glad you made the call. Call 865-525-2323 or get in touch with Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Now back to the Veteran Next Door.
Welcome back to the Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we're talking about soldiers at Christmas time. So we may as well go back to the start in East Tennessee. Let's go back to 1758, Fort Loudoun, British soldiers, Cherokee Indians, the French and Indian War. The first soldiers from Knoxville were not what we call local today. They were British soldiers, thousands of miles from home, here to keep the French at bay, protect the settlers. The first Christmas here, this is a song they sang. This song was once one of the most important teaching songs of the Catholic Church, but not many people know its meaning. So listen up. Twelve drummers drumming. Well, that's the Apostles' Creed from the Catholic Church. 11 pipers piping, 12 disciples minus one, 10 lords a-leaping, that's the Ten Commandments, 9 ladies dancing, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, gentleness, and self-control, 8 maids a-milking, the lowliest honest profession given to those of little worth. But the church wanted everyone to know that Christ was for all people. 7 swarms of swimming. Romans 12, 6 through 8, gifts of the Holy Spirit. Prophecy, service, teaching, encouraging, giving, leadership, and mercy. 6 geese a-laying. What comes first, the goose or the egg? 6 geese a-laying represents the 6 days of creation. 5 golden rings, the 5 laws of Moses. 4 calling birds, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 3 French hens. French hens were set up, if you were having French hens for dinner, you were pretty well off. You were wealthy, and not many people, everybody knew that, gosh, if you were having French hens, you were high on the hog. 3 French hens, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. 2 turtle doves. Well, that's the Old and the New Testament. The doves represented truth and peace. And a partridge in a pear tree, well, the mother partridge lures the enemies away to protect her young, even to the point of sacrificing her life. Not many people know what the 12 Days of Christmas song was all about. At Fort Loudoun in 1758, the song was played for the Cherokee Indians. They didn't understand it either. Most people don't know that in part of British history, if you sang that song, you could be hung or drawn and quartered. But here the British soldiers were listening to the song. When the song was over, the preacher got up and said something that I heard a long time ago on a cartoon when I was a kid. It's the same prayer and the same statement that Linus said of Peanuts fame. Remember Linus during Christmas got up and said, "And the angel of the Lord said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." When the singing and the sermon were done, the soldiers demonstrated their weapons for the Indians
And then they went on with their regular drill. These soldiers were far from home, too, and what we call home today, to them, were foreign shores.
After the French and Indian War came the Revolutionary War. In December of 1776, George Washington had to turn the tide of the war. He needed a victory. He decided to cross the Delaware. It was so cold, the river was freezing to the boats as they crossed it. They went to Trenton to attack the Hessians. European soldiers like to make war like gentlemen, and they thought they could take time to celebrate Christmas. Washington attacked when the Hessians had celebrated Christmas. Many were sleeping and resting from their celebrations. As they approached, they may well have heard this German Christmas song. You know that as O Christmas Tree. It was the Germans who brought the Christmas tree to America. Merging the pagan celebrations with the birth of Christ seemed to make things easier for the Catholic Church. After the Revolution, Christmas was not as festive in the Americas as it was in Europe, but you may well have heard this song. During the War of 1812, the European officers would celebrate Christmas with a festive dinner and lots of drinks to celebrate the occasion and to take the pain away from being so far from home. You may well have heard this song on the ocarina. Many soldiers would carry the ocarina with them when they left home. After the War of 1812 came the Mexican Wars. A young lieutenant, Robert E. Lee, was down in Mexico, and he had written a letter home. And he had told his family to decorate the home. You're listening to The Veteran Next Door, and I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we'll be right back.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book, World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half, soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor, and read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. You know, I get emails from people that said they've bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323, or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or call 865-525-2323. Or you can pick them up at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. Copies can be purchased as individual shows, multiple copies of the same show, or as a series. What better way to share time with the kids than by listening to the experiences of people who actually lived through historic events, like the Battle of the Bulge, World War I, Knoxville during the Civil War, Vietnam as told by soldiers who were there, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Afghanistan, and Islam in the 20th century. Each show is hosted by the Veteran Next Door host, Randy Baxter, describing the history-making events and introducing you to people who experienced the event firsthand. Purchase the shows one at a time or in sets by topic or mix and match to suit your learning need. For a list of available shows, call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Are you a licensed life insurance agent anywhere in the United States? Are you a Medicare specialist, final expense agent, captive agent, or independent broker? I have a software package that you're going to want. It's by Estate Docs Pro, and it allows you to establish a revocable living trust for your clients, and you become their go-to person for estate planning and financial planning. You can get a free 30-day trial of this software with training, and all you have to do is ask. You can call me at 865-525-2323, or you can email me at randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com or www.estatepositioningservices.com. Get your 30-day trial, get your training on how to set this up, and watch your income go up. Remember, there's absolutely no cost to you as an agent to learn this software program. No commitment, no obligation. But once you see how it works, you're going to be glad you made the call. Call 865-525-2323 or get in touch with Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Now back to The Veteran Next Door.
Still we see thee lie above thy deep and dreamless sleep. The silent stars go by.
Welcome back to The Veteran Next Door. I'm your host, Randy Baxter, and we're talking about soldiers at Christmas time. O Little Town of Bethlehem was written by a Civil War soldier who had fought at Gettysburg. And he had seen all the pain and the death and the suffering. And later on, he went to Bethlehem seeking peace and trying to find a way to solace himself and other people. And he wrote the song, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Another famous writer during the Civil War, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, had just lost his wife in a house fire. And his son had gone off to war
And he was a little depressed and a little sad at the fact that the North and the South were at war. And listen to this poem that he wrote.
Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, Christmas Bells. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat, of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day, a voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men.
After the Civil War, we settled the West, and then we got into a little entanglement with the Spanish in the Spanish-American War. It was fought by primarily Buffalo soldiers, our black Americans, and you may well have heard this next song.
Go tell it on the mountain, on the hill, over the hill, everywhere, why don't you go? Go tell it on the mountain, tell them that Jesus Christ is
leave
born.
You all to go tell it again.
Go tell it on the mountain. Christ is born.
Say it again, why don't you go?
Tell it on the mountain,
over the hill,
over the hill,
yeah,
everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain,
tell them that
Jesus Christ is born. He was born by a Virgin Mary.
I know he was
wrapped in swaddled and clothing,
says that he was
laid down in the manger
on
the 25th day of December.
That's why you want to
go tell it on the mountain.
Go tell it on the mountain. And not long after that, we found ourselves going over there for World War One, and a strange and unusual thing happened in 1914 during World War One. And I'd like to just tell you the whole story, but I don't think I can tell it any better than what you're about to hear in this very next song.
Name is Francis Tolliver. I come from Liverpool. 2 years ago, the war was waiting for me after school. To Belgium and to Flanders, to Germany to hear. I fought for king and country I loved dear. It was Christmas in the trenches, where the frost so bitter hung. The frozen fields of France were still, no Christmas song was sung. Our families back in England were toasting us that day. Their brave and glorious lads so far away. I was lying with my messmate on the cold and rocky ground. Across the lines of battle came a most peculiar sound. Says I, now listen up, me boys, each soldier strained to hear, as one young German voice sang out so clear. He's singing bloody well, you know, my partner says to me. Soon one by one each German voice joined in harmony. The cannons rested silent, the gas cloud rolled no more, as Christmas brought us respite from the war. As soon as they were finished and Reverend Boz was spent, God rest ye merry gentlemen, struck up some lads from Kent. Oh, the next they sang was Steely Knocked, "'Tis Silent Night," says I, and in two tongues one song filled up that sky. There's someone coming towards us, the front line sentry cried. All sights were fixed on one lone figure trudging from their side. His truce flag like a Christmas star shone on that plain so bright, as he bravely strode unarmed into the night. Then one by one on either side walked in no man's land. With neither gun nor bayonet we met there hand to hand. We shared some secret brandy and wished each other well, and in a flare-lit soccer game we gave him hell. We traded chocolates, cigarettes, and photographs from home. These sons and fathers far away from families of their own. Young Sanders played his squeeze box and they had a violin. This curious and unlikely band of men. Soon daylight stole upon us, and France was France once more. With sad farewells we each began to settle back to war. But the question haunted every heart that lived that wondrous night: whose family have I fixed within my sights? 'Twas Christmas in the trenches, where the frost so bitter hung. Frozen fields of France were warmed as songs of peace were sung. For the walls they'd kept between us to exact the work of war had been crumbled and were gone forevermore. Oh, my name is Francis Tolliver, in Liverpool I dwell. Each Christmas come since World War I, I've learned its lessons well. But the ones who call the shots won't be among the dead and lame. And on each end of the rifle, we're the same.
It's based on a true story.
There's a lighter side to Christmas in World War I. I'm sure you've heard this tune.
The news had come out in the First World War. The bloody Red Baron was flying once more. The Allied command ignored all of its men and called on Snoopy to do it again. Was the night before Christmas, 40 below, when Snoopy went up in search of his foe. Despite Red Baron, fiercely they fought. With ice on his wings, Snoopy knew he was gone.
We moved on to World War II, and several of my guests this fall were at the Battle of the Bulge. Jim Underwood, Clinton Riddle, Robert Harvey, and Charles Beale. They saw the destruction. They felt the cold. They felt the fear. But what I want you to hear right now is something you may have already heard from Charles Beale when he talks about his Christmas cake.
That's when that German come and found him and got him out of there. Mm-hmm. But we lost a lot of men in there because it was surrounded on three sides by Germans. Mm-hmm. And it's all cleared. And when they told us all to get out of there, we ran and out in the open. And we'd run zigzag. But they were so good with those guns that they were shooting at us. Bullets were hitting right along with us. Mm-hmm. That's how good. The shells, it was shells, it wasn't bullets. The shells were exploding. And one went off behind us, and the man with me, he got a shot into his leg right here. That one shot did, and it picked up a rock about that big around, hit me on my back. I had a pack on. Hit me on that pack back there, knocked me right on my face. But I got up right quick, threw my pack away. Oh, I had a fried Christmas cake in it.
You had a Christmas cake in your pack and you threw it away?
I had to.
That's funny.
And I went out to my buddy up there, and he's down on one leg, you might say. But we got out of there.
You know, it's funny what the elder man remembers what the young man thought at Christmas time, and that Christmas cake was probably pretty special. Speaking of Christmas, I was on eBay kind of finding some things that I wanted to buy, and I saw an odd lot in an estate sale. And when I looked at it, it had a captain's hat and some captain's bars and a whole bunch of military items in it. And I looked at it, and I said, well, I might be interested in that. And I was interested, and I bought it. Bought it right then. I didn't bid on it. It said you can bid or you can buy right now. Well, I just bought it right now. Anyway, when that happened, I got an email from the girl I had bought it from. And she said, thank you. And I said, did you know the person that owned those things that I just bought? And she said, no, but my daddy was in World War II. And I said, tell me about it. And what you're about to hear are her words read by Linda Marone.
Hi, a little about my father-in-law. His name is Major F.B. Gowdy. He was born in 1917 and he died in 2006. He is buried at the Military Cemetery in Riverside, California. He was buried with full honors, including a missing man flyover. He served in World War II as a pilot. Toward the end of the war, he flew the B-24 bomber as pilot in command over the China-Burma hump. He was shot out of his plane over China, and he was a lone survivor. He was found by local Chinese farmers who helped him get back to his local unit in India. After the war, he served in several places around the world and ended his career after serving 6 years at the Pentagon. He was fearlessly patriotic and loved his country and his family. He was a gentle, tender man with his wife, kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids. He even had two great-great-grandchildren. He is survived by his wife, three boys, eight grandchildren, eight great-grandchildren, and two great-great-grandchildren. My tears are flowing again at this minute. As I remember his generous, childlike, and adventurous nature, you couldn't go anywhere with him that he would not insist on paying, and he loved to get the family together at local restaurants on a regular basis. He did truly epitomize the description, officer and a gentleman. Anyway, in which you are able to honor his memory is very much appreciated. Thanks, Cheryl Gowdy.
Cheryl, I've never met you before, but as Patsy Cline once said, that's the best I can do. Merry Christmas.
The Veteran Next Door will return in a moment.
Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars by the veterans themselves. The Veteran Next Door. You love the show. Now, get the book, World War II, Volume 1, 1939 to 1946. Read about how our veterans attempted to free children trapped by fascist countries. Learn about the supermen we sent to liberate the world from the crimes of World War II. Stories of Pacific land battles on the land and the sea, battles in Europe, land in the air, survival in the ocean, when a ship sinks and one breaks in half, soldiers who deserve the Medal of Honor, and read the story of the Battle of Athens, Tennessee, when many soldiers came home and had to deal with a corrupt county government and prove the need for our Second Amendment. Stories told and retold from the battlefronts of America's wars. Be sure to get your copy at Amazon.com. The Veteran Next Door, Stories from World War II, Volume 1, 1939 through 1946. Don't miss one word of The Veteran Next Door.
You know, if you already have the book, I hope you're enjoying it. But a lot of people ask me, do they have to order through Amazon.com? Answer is no. You can get it direct from me and have it autographed. All you have to do is call 865-525-2323. Or you can go to my website at www.theveterannextdoor.com. And those are all little letters, no spaces, theveterannextdoor.com. Makes a great gift for birthdays, anniversaries. You know, I get emails from people that said they bought and read the book and they've learned more about their parents by reading the experience of other people during World War II. I think you'd enjoy it too. So give us a call, 865-525-2323, or order the book online at theveterannextdoor.com.
If you'd like a copy of today's show, contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com or call 865-525-2323. Or you can pick them up at the Veteran Next Door store at 4812 Asheville Highway. Copies can be purchased as individual shows, multiple copies of the same show, or as a series. What better way to share time with the kids than by listening to the experiences of people who actually lived through historic events, like the Battle of the Bulge, World War I, Knoxville during the Civil War, Vietnam as told by soldiers who were there, the Cuban Missile Crisis, Afghanistan, and Islam in the 20th century. Each show is hosted by the Veteran Next Door host, Randy Baxter, describing the history-making events and introducing you to people who experienced the event firsthand. Purchase the shows one at a time or in sets by topic or mix and match to suit your learning needs. For a list of available shows, call 865-525-2323 or contact Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Are you a licensed life insurance agent anywhere in the United States? Are you a Medicare specialist, final expense agent, captive agent, or independent broker? I have a software package that you're going to want. It's by Estate Docs Pro, and it allows you to establish a revocable living trust for your clients, and you become their go-to person for estate planning and financial planning. You can get a free 30-day trial of this software with training, and all you have to do is ask. You can call me at 865-525-2323, or you can email me at randallbaxter@randallbaxter.com or www.estatepositioningservices.com. Get your 30-day trial. Get your training on how to set this up and watch your income go up. Remember, there's absolutely no cost to you as the agent to learn this software program. No commitment, no obligation. But once you see how it works, you're going to be glad you made the call. Call 865-525-2323 or get in touch with Randall Baxter at randallbaxter.com.
Now back to the Veteran Next Door.
Now let's go to Korea. For those of you who have listened to me for several weeks, you heard the story of Lieutenant Commander Arthur Boyd, who had operated on a special mission for Harry Truman to deliver military information. That mission ended in disaster with the death of his crew, and he had the unhappy experience of having to take the lives of some young enemy soldiers. But I asked him some things about Christmas and asked him to share some thoughts with me. So what you're about to hear are his words that he wrote back to me.
The most memorable Christmas story while serving in the military came as a result of my conversion to Christianity. During the fall of 1962, I'd been suffering from my Korean War experience for 10 years, and I was led to faith in Jesus as my Lord. As a result of that conversion, I discovered a powerful way to deal with the demons of post-traumatic stress disorder. Knowing that God was with me through His Son brought strength and comfort that I'd never known. I tried everything to cope with the destructive memories of watching my comrades slaughtered, along with my recall of being forced to take the lives of five young men who were my enemy. Without the power of the Christmas story, I would have ended my life. The true meaning of Christmas provided me with the power to confront and deal with my mental torment while continuing to serve the country I love. My Christmas plans were set in concrete at the time of my conversion while serving in the military. I now celebrate Christmas out of the unspeakable eternal gift of life, everlasting, that was made possible by the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Art, during our interview, you told me that Silent Night was one of your favorite Christmas songs, so I hope you will indulge me while I play it for you on my harmonica. Merry Christmas, Art. Earlier this year, we talked about Silent Warriors. Silent Warriors were the gentlemen that worked for the Air Force who tested the Russian borders to find out how fast the Russian military could respond to us if we had to attack them. And the first letter that I received to talk about Christmas was from Dwight Goodman. And let's listen to what he has to say about Christmas.
On the day after my 19th birthday, December 6th, we flew from Rheinmann, Germany to Adana, Turkey, Inkerlink Air Base, to begin a series of missions out of Turkey and Iran. As it turned out, I flew on 16 days out of the next 19. On December 14th, a major international incident occurring on the Black Sea near the Russian coast resulted ultimately in the permanent end of these missions out of Turkey. I, along with another crew member, ended up being the last two out of Turkey. All mission aircraft in Turkey had been loaded with personnel and equipment and removed from Turkey as a security measure, as the Turks, under pressure from the Russians, had already delayed departure of the last aircraft once. And there was some concern they would attempt to confiscate an aircraft or try to board the aircraft or otherwise compromise the aircraft and other classified material and equipment on board. With no mission aircraft remaining in Turkey, it was not certain when we would be able to leave. But on Christmas Eve, with a non-mission C-130 aircraft was sent from Rheinmann to Adana with Turkey's permission to pick us up for return to Rheinmann. After almost 3 weeks living in a World War II-era leaky and cold Quonset hut with outdoor bathroom facilities during the cold, wet Turkish winter, eating the reconstituted food and drinking the reconstituted milk at Inkerlink's Chow Hall, we were looking forward to returning to Rheinmann. Plus, until that morning, we had no word as to when we'd be able to leave Turkey, and had been told that it could take some time. So we were relieved in several levels that we were able to depart. After refueling the aircraft, we, the two passengers and the aircraft's five flight crew, left Inkerlink late in the afternoon for Rheinmann. The flight was uneventful except for noting that the number 3 engine would not synchronize with the others, and the pilot and co-pilot were continually adjusting on number 3 engine. Upon arriving in Rheinmann area at about midnight, the runway was covered with snow. The co-pilot was flying and made a reverse ILS approach into Rheinmann. And now, we were not under ILS conditions, but the co-pilot needed to log an ILS approach to keep current. Crossing the end of the runway, we were about 500 feet too high, about 30 knots too fast, and about 15 degrees off course. It required about a half of the 10,000-foot runway to realign, slow down, and land the airplane. Upon touchdown, with brakes ineffective on the snow, the co-pilot shoved all 4 engines into reverse. Number 3 did not reverse. We had slowed considerably when the aircraft did a 360-degree spin before it came to a stop with the nose gear off the runway. It was all quiet for a moment. Then the pilot had the crew door opened and all of us got off to look at the situation. The nose gear was about 3 feet from a concrete light stand. Otherwise, there was no apparent concerns. I looked across the runway, across the field, the apron area, and could see the lights of my quarters in the chow hall. For an instant, I thought I could just walk from there. Then I heard the co-pilot say, "Well, let's get on and I'll back us up onto the runway." And I heard the pilot reply, "I'll take it from here." So we reboarded, the pilot backed the aircraft onto the runway, and we rode onto our apron area and parked. Cheated death again. As best I remember, after flying for 3 weeks in Turkey and a harrowing landing in Rheinman on Christmas Eve, I slept through Christmas Day, arising only late in the afternoon to enjoy a Christmas dinner at the Chow Hall. Leftovers by that time, still good.
Dwight Goodman's compatriot, as you remember, was Jerry Hatmaker, and he also responded to my questionnaire, and I want you to hear his story too.
It was a little more than 3 years since the release of Gary Francis Powers and the Cuban Missile Crisis. The Berlin airlift was only 16 years distant. It was 1965, and the Cold War was still raging, and it was almost Christmas, and we were stuck in Adana, Turkey. Now, a month before, we had landed at Inkralink Air Base, and the following morning, we had begun to fly intelligence-gathering missions against Soviet air defenses. At first, they were routine flights that just, you know, targeted installations along the northeastern coast of the Black Sea. But in mid-December, they turned into search and rescue missions after one of our reconnaissance planes mysteriously crashed into the sea. We searched for days. I mean, we searched and searched, but found little evidence of the plane and nothing of the crew. If they had survived, we figured one of the many Russian trawlers in the area had picked them up. And we knew what that meant, too. The crew probably would have never been heard from again. As a result of the incident, all future reconnaissance missions into the Black Sea were canceled, and we were ordered to wait for further instructions, although we continued our search missions. You know, I was feeling pretty low. It had been such a long and stressful tour, and I wanted out of Turkey, honestly, and I was tired of flying and being restricted to one of the two Quonset huts that made up our secure compound, where all we could do was just wait and eat pistachios and play Battleship. I didn't see my parents for almost 2 years, and we had not communicated for months. We had real tape recorders. From time to time, we would send each other tapes. And in that way, I could hear the greetings of my friends back home, and then I got to answer them in a more personal way than just sending a postcard from Germany. You know, I wondered if there was a tape waiting for me in Germany. On December 23rd, we received orders to return to Germany. We landed after dark on Christmas Eve. And man, I was bone tired, depressed, 20-year-old. As I entered a bleak sleeping quarters that night, I put down my helmet, oxygen mask, and as I was taking off my flight jacket, I noticed a small package at the foot of my bed. And it was a package from my mom and dad. You know, inside there were some homemade cookies, a Christmas card, and all signed by my friends, and a tape recording. Oh, man. And when I played the recording, the first thing I heard was my dad. And he said, "Son, I always wanted to give you one of these. I love you. Merry Christmas." And I was just astonished. My dad was not an emotional person. He had never even said the word love to me ever in my life. Back then, it wasn't something that men said to their children. And there was only one other song on the tape along with that message from my dad. It was a song. And as I listened to it, I began to understand that it represented my dad's love for me. And ever since then, about this time of the year, that song always pops into my head. And I find myself singing it, smiling, and thinking about that Christmas Eve, 1965. And yeah, I've passed that along to my kids, too.
When I was just a wee little lad, full of health and joy, my father homeward came one night and gave to me a toy. A wonder to behold it was, with many colors bright. And the moment I laid eyes on it, it became my heart's delight. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. The first time that I picked it up, I had a big surprise. For right on its bottom were two big buttons that looked like big green eyes. I first pushed one, then the other, then I twisted its lid. And when I set it down again, here is what it did. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
It first marched left, then marched right, then marched under a chair. And when I looked where it had gone, it wasn't even there. I started to cry and my daddy laughed, for he knew that I would find, when I turned around, my marvelous toy chugging from behind. It went zip when it moved, bop when it stopped, whirr when it stood still.
I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
Now the years have gone by too quickly, it seems I have my own little boy. And yesterday I gave to him my marvelous little toy. His eyes nearly popped right out of his head. He gave a squeal of glee.
Neither one of us knows just what it is, but he loves it just like me.
It still goes
zip when it moves, and bop when it stops, and whirr when it stands still. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will. I never knew just what it was, and I guess I never will.
We had a lot of Christmases during the Vietnam War, too. Let's see what Ron Miller had to say.
The time I spent in the military really did end up affecting the way I view Christmas. I survived three tours in Vietnam. A lot of people didn't. So now I take Christmas and the opportunity to have it with my family a lot more serious.
So this is Christmas, and what have you done? Another year over, and you won't just be gone. And so this is Christmas, I hope you have fun. The near and the dear
one. We also had soldiers who served between Vietnam and Iraq, Grenada, Mogadishu. Let's hear what one of them has to say about Christmas time.
My first Christmas in the military, I spent at Marine Corps Air Station, Ikonui, Japan. I was 18 years old, fresh out of high school, and it was my first time away from home. I'd only been in Ikonui a couple of weeks. I arrived there late November. As luck would have it, I was instantly assigned mess duty at the chow hall. And all E3 and below newly assigned to the base had to take turn. So I was able to make friends and meet new people pretty quickly. I spent my first Christmas away from home helping prepare and serve the other 1,000 or so Marines and sailors on the base, a traditional Christmas meal with all the trimmings at the Chow Hall in Ikonui, Japan. Chow Hall played Christmas music constantly. We worked 16 hours a day for 30 straight days, so I heard my fair share of Christmas songs that month. The one that sticks out is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I must have heard that song 1,000 times that month.
Our next guest is Pam Swarner, and we're going to wrap up the show with her letter and a little bitty song that she wanted to share with us. So let's see what Pam Swarner had to say in her letter.
When my son was in the Army, I can remember when he was not home for Christmas. Then I would send boxes to Italy filled with presents and decorations. I listened to Bing Crosby sing "I'll Be Home for Christmas." I was raised where Christmas was important, so my husband Romar and I get really involved in welcoming home the troops, packing boxes and sending them, making sure people realize just how wonderful our troops were. We cannot forget. We cannot have the welcome homes that the vets from Korea and Vietnam got. I remember, so does my husband. He remembers being spit on. We just finished packing 240 boxes, and each had a small Christmas tree in it and some decorations, food, some hand warmers, all sorts of good things. We went to the airport last night to see a young woman that worked as our high school help at my old job. She has been in Afghanistan. The day she left, the six kids that were killed by the Afghan police were in her outfit. She flew from Qatar with the six flag-draped coffins, time to think, that could have been me. She talked for 2 hours nonstop last night, so young to see so much death. So we will continue to welcome home troops, pack and send boxes, make welcome home videos, and honor each and every one of the fine Americans that serve our great country. The one that always brings tears to my mind, and I use it in my Christmas videos of soldiers we welcome home, is "I'll Be Home for Christmas." It is sang by Josh Groban on his Noel CD. I attached it just in case you have not heard his version.
This is Captain Patrick Hawken, and I want to wish a very Merry Christmas to my family in Tennessee and my beautiful girlfriend in California. I miss you all, and I'll be home soon.
My name is Specialist Brooke Frisk, and I'm in Baghdad, Iraq. I would like to wish all my family and friends in Georgia and Wisconsin a very Merry Christmas. I'm really going to miss spending the holidays.
I'll see you guys real soon. Love you guys. Bye.
I am dreaming tonight of a place I love even more than I usually do. And although I know it's a long road back, I promise you I'll be home. And mistletoe and presents on the tree. Christmas Eve will find you where the love light gleams. I'll be home. If only in my dream.
Hi, I'm Lieutenant Colonel Philip Stagg. I'd like to wish my family and friends back in Richmond, Virginia, a very Merry Christmas.
Hey, young, and I want to send out a Merry Christmas.
I'd like to wish my family a very Merry Christmas in St. Louis, Missouri, especially my daughter Madison, who will be 4 this Christmas. I'm going to miss opening up presents with her and watching her face and seeing her face on Christmas morning and watching her, you know, experience all the new experiences that Christmas brings.
Christmas Eve will find me where the love light gleams. I'll be home for Christmas before.
Christmas.
You've been listening to The Veteran Next Door, our Christmas show, Soldiers at War. I hope you enjoyed it. We're looking forward to having you here next year. And all those that are serving us overseas, I want to thank you. Wish you all a very, very Merry Christmas. Thank you.
I never was a soldier, but I played one as a child. History was good to me. I grew up free and wild.
You've been listening to Randall Baxter and the Veteran Next Door.